You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive. This morning, I got a good message for you this morning. I know that it is a message that, I'm kind of crackly, aren't I? Bumping this thing, I think. I know it's a message that's from God because it's one of those things I could not get away from. You know, that's normally how I minister is you know, something will be kind of rolling on the inside of me, and I'll get to studying, and I'll study one message that turns into five, you know, because rabbit trail, and then, ooh, that's good stuff, and I'll grow, you know, and then, wow, that's good too, you know, and I'll go this way, and I've got five messages before I'm done. I'm like, great, which one am I going to pick, you know? But, you know, I minister what's on my heart and what I think that I need. And just like Dad says, who was it, C.S. Lewis? Who was the one that said the deal about the mailboxes? Was it C.S. Lewis that talked about the mailboxes? And he said, you know, I get mail in my mailbox, and I think that you guys get mail too. And I know in my mailbox, those envelopes have things like bills in them, you know, letters from people. And I figure you're just about like me. In your mailbox, you probably have the same stuff, right? You have letters and bills and lots of junk mail. My boys, they know that I'm not I will make noises whenever I check them. Junk mail again.
They need to offer your a trash service fee along with junk mail, because that way, you know, they pay for your trash, because, I mean, it just goes in the trash. But, you know, I feel like you're probably like me. You probably get that same kind of stuff. Yeah? All right. I think we're all pretty much the same. So I feel like, you know, what God's ministering to me and what I need to work on in my life is going to help somebody out there too. You know, and obviously anything we minister out of God's word is good. I mean, it's all good. Everybody say it's all good. And I tell you what we can do. First things first, let's turn to Luke. I want to talk to you about, and this is one of those times where I got a title for this message and everything. Dad, and I'm the same way. Dad's not a big title person, you know. He just teaches what's ministering on his heart, and then afterwards we'll think and we'll discuss, and I don't know, what do you think? You know, we'll talk about titles, and I don't get to do that as much anymore because I'm not working at the church on a consistent basis anymore, But we, you know, he has to come up with a title. But I got a title this morning, and I knew it was the message to preach, and I just had to put, you know, scriptures with it. That's all I had to do. I just had to go do a little, which wasn't hard. I mean, it was very easy. But salvation is here, and I just that just kept popping up in my spirit. Salvation is here. You know, I know it's the time of season where it's real easy to think about Jesus and what he did and you know, what all he accomplished, you know, when he came to earth. I mean, this is just so great. It's a great resume of things that he did whenever he came to earth. Obviously, the main thing is he provided a way for us to be saved. But he did so many other things too. I mean, while he was here, you know, he gave us the true image, a true representation of what God's really, what his heart was really all about, what God was really about. You know, it wasn't just like, you know, well, I know a guy who knows a guy who knows this guy, and what we think about him is this, you know, and then it was, you know, well, God kind of told me this, and no, we had God with us. I mean, he was amongst us. He was walking with us, and he was talking with us, and he was not just walking and talking words. He was sharing his heart with people. I mean, he was sitting down and saying, "Man, I love you. Do you know if you were to drink of the water that I have, that you'll never thirst anymore. I've got something for you." I mean, that's the way he was. He sat down with people and he shared his heart with them. His salvation, I mean, his salvation wasn't just, you know, living forever. That's a great thing. I mean, that's the most important thing. We've been redeemed. We've been forgiven. But his salvation was that he wanted to love people. He wanted people to be saved from the situations they were in, You know, in all the situations that you may think of that come up in your life, you've been redeemed from any bad thing in your life. You've been saved from that. All you have to do is just call on Jesus and ask Jesus to help you, and he's going to do it. I mean, because salvation is here. And what the message that just kept rolling around in my heart, you know, we're going to get to this in just a second, but I'm probably going to share a little bit about, you know, some history about things. Back in the Old Testament, you know, they talked about his coming. They talked about, you know, the what was to come and all. They prophesied and they talked about, oh, the Savior's going to come. This Redeemer's going to come. This King is going to come. Oh, boy, we're going to be saved. All this is going to. And, you know, and back then, all they really had was the law. You know, they had to, and they had to work for things. You know, they had to work at, doing certain things, following after certain laws and things. And the Ten Commandments and all those things, those are still good things. They had to follow after those things. And they had to sacrifice, and they sacrificed once a year. They would bring their stuff in, you know, bring their sacrifices and their harvest and or the lamb and all these things. And then the priest would come in, and he would take that. He would enter into the temple, into the holiest of holies, and he would offer that sacrifice up. You know, interesting story about that. I always thought this was a kind of interesting story, you know, to me as growing up as a kid, hearing this dad talking about it. You know, the priest, you know, he was the one was going to be, you know, sinless and holy, and he would have to take them because only he could enter into the holiest of holies, into the part of the temple where the, you know, he would actually offer the sacrifice up to you know, basically redeem you or take all the sins, that, you know. And I'm thinking, man, a whole year? I mean, really? I mean, what happens if the next day, after you gone to the temple, offered your sacrifices, you did something really bad that you just really regret? Oh, my, I can't believe I did that. And now I got to wait a whole year before I get redeemed from that thing. And he's got to live with that every day. I mean, just every day. Oh, man, I cannot wait. Can't wait till whatever day it is, you know. It's not Christmas time. It's, you know, probably harvest time. You know, I'm thinking August area maybe that you would come and offer your sacrifices. I mean, you know, I got to wait till August the 3rd, really? My goodness, it's only the 5th of August, you know. Of course, their calendar might have been a little different, but they had to wait a whole year. No. Salvation for them, man, in a sense of getting redeemed from your sins, you know, it was a long time. They had to live with this thing. Ah, man, yeah, you know. I don't know, try to live right and all this stuff. But, we just, if we mess up, God, I messed up. Can you forgive me? And what does it say? He's going to forgive us. Now, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we can get free from that. We're saved from that. Amen. We can move on. And don't let the devil bring it back up. But, you know, back to this thing about the priest, I thought this was interesting. The priest would have to take your sacrifice in, and they would, you know, he had, they said they would have like bells on the hem of his garment there, and they would tie a rope to his ankle, because if he entered into that holiest of holies and he had sinned, he would die, because sin could not pass, it could not go into that area. And they would listen for the bells, and if the bells stopped ringing, they'd pull the guy back out. I'm just thinking to myself, okay, there was a story of, I had an English teacher who, she was a little different. You know, you get into philosophical debate and theological debate about all this, but we can back it up with scripture, about your time to die. And she said that she was always afraid of flying. And we were like, what do you mean you're afraid of flying? I mean, more people die in, you know, car accidents or other things, you know, than flying. She says, no. I was always afraid. I never want to go up on a plane. And she shared this discussion she had with one of her friends, her associates, says, well, you know, I just think if, you know, if it's my time to die. Or no, the friend says, well, if it's your time to die, then it's just your time to die. Of course, we don't believe that. That's not what the scripture says. I'm just, for sake of discussion here, this bringing this point out. And she says, oh, it's not that. She goes, I'm just worried about if it's the pilot's time to die. Because if... I'm not really... Because if he... we're all in trouble. And I got to thinking about this thing with the priest, you know. I mean, what happens if... Do you... There's summon another priest if he's entering in and he takes your sacrifice. I'm just, you know, just something that came to my mind. I'm thinking, man, what if he didn't enter with his sin? And he had my stuff. I'm going to get redeemed here. I'm getting my sin forgiven here. And he goes in there and he's not holy and clean. Anyway, that was just a side note. I just thought about that when I was ministering here. But we don't have to wait. We don't have to wait. Salvation is here. Jesus came. Well, let's read here for a second. It says in Luke, and this is the famous, you know, passage, and, you know, if you watched Charlie Brown, this is the passage they read out of Charlie Brown on the Charlie Brown Christmas, and if you went to the White Gift service, you know, there's had a good turnout there this year again, as usual, and a great thing that the high school is doing to celebrate the true reason of the season in our schools, and you know, we have a... Man, do we have a great town to support that? But if you were there and heard that, this is the same thing that they read in that part of the service. They're talking about the birth of our Savior, birth of Jesus, and it says in Luke 2, verse 8. Famous passage of scripture here. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Verse 9, and behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Everybody say great joy. Great joy, and which will be to all people. Everybody say all people. So we've got great joy that's fixing to happen here to all people. There's something that they're fixing to announce and give us information about something that's going to bring great joy to all people. It says, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior. Wow. Who is Christ the Lord. And it goes on and talks about how they'll find out who he is and you know, how they'll be able to find him. And then there's a angel multitude joins with them. They start singing, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men. But the point is here that unto you this day was born a Savior. And this time of year, we you know, hopefully won't steal a message from Dad in its entirety, but because I know he'll minister along these lines in the days to come. But that day was, and I know it splits time in half, you know, and it's not necessarily that day whenever Jesus passed away, but Jesus was splitting time in half of when there was no Savior here on earth, no saving, redeeming, you know, power, no true forgiveness of sins that would be an everlasting effect. There was nothing like that before, and now Jesus comes, and now, wow, God's got this plan, and he's going to save us, and it's going to be through his Son, and Jesus is here. Jesus is with us. He's right here with us. He's amongst us. And hold your places there. Look, let's turn to John. John chapter 1. This is good stuff. You're going to like this. In John chapter 1, it talks about the Word. In verse 1 of John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Everybody say the Word was God. And we know that to be Jesus. And it says, he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. Without him, nothing that was made that was made. Right? It took Jesus to make everything, because what did God use to make everything? His Word. Amen? He used the Word, his Word. Let there be light. And there was light. He says, let the dry land appear, and dry land appears. And he created man, and created the animals, and then created man, and then he created woman. He created all these things, but with his mouth, he created all these things, with his Word. And nothing was made without Jesus. Salvation doesn't come without Jesus. Because when God talked about salvation, well, that was the Word. And the Word had to become flesh because that was part of the plan. We needed someone who could come down here who was spotless, sinless, that could die as the lambs were supposed to be. When they came and they inspected the lambs and bring them into the sacrifice, they had to check them, make sure they were spotless. They were the firstborn. They were the best of the best, right? And there was nothing wrong with them. No flaws, nothing wrong with them. Jesus came, there were no flaws in him. And he was holy. And he was sinless. And he was going to be the ultimate lamb, the ultimate sacrifice that would save us from our sins. Jesus came. This is the plan. It says in verse 4, in him was life and the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Didn't understand it. And it goes on, it says in the 14th verse, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus came down to earth, and he was born. And you get into the whole story, and born of a virgin, Virgin Mary. And his father was God, his mother was Mary. He had a rightful place to be here. He was man, he was human. Now, I know this, I'm a math teacher, and this doesn't always add up. And I like for things to add up and make sense. But he was 100% God, and he was 100% man. He was. I mean, he was human. He was flesh. But he was still God. He was God in the flesh. Amen. And he dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And I like this right here. This was exciting to me when I was just reading this one part here too. It says, back up for a second. It says in verse 6, and there was a man sent from God whose name was John. There was a man that God was raising up. 6 months older than Jesus. He came before Jesus. That's going to be important in a minute, reading the scripture. He came before Jesus, and he went before Jesus. He prepared a way for people to realize that there was a Savior that was coming. And John starts telling people about Jesus, man. He's like, you guys don't understand. There's this guy, I know this guy. He's coming, all right? He's coming. And he is going to save the world from their sins. He is our saving grace. He's the salvation that we've been talking about, we've been needing. This is him. This is the guy, all right? And he goes on, it says, his name was John, verse 7. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, talking about Jesus, that all through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. Amen. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, Jesus. And the world did not know him, Jesus. Not yet. That's why John got sent, right? And he came to his own received him not, talking about the passage where, or the, scripture where it talks about Jesus came, whenever he came back into his village to try to minister, and they didn't receive him. And in a bigger scheme of things, the Jews didn't receive him, his people, his own received him not. And so this was a light that was going to be for everyone, not just the Jews, but for all. It says here, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right, the authority, the birth certificate, we'll say, to become the children of God. And to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. The will of flesh was sin. The will of man was, sin, it just wasn't good, wasn't right, but of God, God's will. And then the Word became flesh, we see, and dwelt among us. And verse 15 was just, that's neat thing. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, I see, and I'm not advocating the movie, but there's a movie, The Elf. Have y'all seen The Elf movie, and it's just a crazy spinoff of, this big guy who's not really an elf, but, and they say something about, guy in the red suit, coming to some store, and he goes, I know him! I know him! It's a funny scene, he's getting all excited because, hey, I know that guy. I know him, right? And then the other day, there's another similar story. Sissy took some of the kids, took Cassie and some of the kids to go see the Peter Pan 360 thing that they had. And Hook is up on stage, and he says at this one point, he goes, "All children love Hook." You know, and he says, "Who loves me out there?" And everybody's going, "Boo, boo, boo, boo." Well, little Jacob, Rachel, Bobby and Debbie's, you know, grandson, Rachel's son, Jacob, Hook was his hero. That he had the hook in his hand. He was the man. He wanted to be Hook. And so everybody's booing and hissing and, "No, woo." And he goes, "I like you. I love you." You know, I feel like this is John. You know, John is sitting here. Jesus shows up and he goes, "That's him. That's the man. I know him. That's the guy I'm telling you about. The Word became flesh and he dwelt among us. John bore witness of him crying out. I mean, he's making a loud noise about this. He is telling people about this. "This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me, he's preferred before me." Well, he came after him because he was born after him. Amen. "But he's preferred before me, for he was before him." And how was that? Because he was the Word. Amen. He always existed. He was with God, and he was God. "And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace." And it says, verse 17, "For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." The law came by Moses, grace and truth. We find out what God's all about when Jesus shows up. Amen? And that's, Jesus becomes flesh. He dwells among us. He is now with us. And I submit to you this too, that whenever Jesus, you know, died and rose again, and now we accept him, Jesus is on the inside of us. You know, there's a little bit of a difference between somebody being with you and somebody being in you. Right? I mean, you know, when people talk about, and this just happened 2 days ago, and then somebody led to a story about somebody telling me about the same thing happened to them just a few days before that. You know, Jesus is seen in you. It doesn't matter, you know, where you're at. This guy was reffing a basketball game. Coach got all upset, and he's telling you the story about, you know, man, he says, "Chris," he says, "you know, you never know when, you know, people are really noticing who you are. You know, or people are always watching, always paying attention." He says, "You know, I was reffing a basketball game, you know, several years before that. But he was talking about several situations that had happened. He says, "I was reffing a basketball game, and this coach, boy, he was just irate. And he's screaming at his team over there. He's screaming at us, he got real mad at the end of the game. You know, they ended up losing, and of course he was even madder because they lost, and it was always our fault. And of course the numbers didn't lie. We called even fouls, and he was doing all stuff. And I just real calmly handled the situation. I said, you know what, I'll tell him that, you know, I don't have to come ref you guys' games anymore. You just talk to the board, and it's not a big deal. You know, if you don't agree with the way I call games, I'll just call somewhere else." And he was real sincere about it, real nice. He wasn't trying to be mean. He says, "And look, and if you want me to, I'll call my boss, basically the chapter head, I'll call them and tell them that just reschedule me somewhere else. You know, if it's going to be a problem, I don't want you to be upset and all this stuff." And the guy just kind of didn't know how to react, you know. And the ref that happened to be teamed with him that day, he kept says, "You're a Christian, aren't you?" He's like, "Well, yeah." He says, "Man, you know, you just see Jesus all in you." Whoa, wait. He sees Jesus in you. That's a big difference between Jesus being, you know, or God just being with us, where God's with, or somebody being with us. I know God being with us is a big thing. But we've got Jesus on the inside of us. Salvation is here. I mean, it's not just in a time sense salvation is here. Salvation is here. It's for right here. It's for right now. It's for every moment of your life. Every time something pops up that you may think, "Oh, no." Oh, yes. I've got Jesus on the inside of me. Salvation is here. I can ask. I can pray. I can seek his face. I can say, I can say to the mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea. And if I just had the faith like a grain of mustard seed, a little bitty old thing, and just that much faith, and the mountain would move. Now, I haven't seen mountains move yet like that, but I'm anxious to see. But I know that that's in me. That's in me. Amen. And so we've got Jesus on the inside of us. Salvation is right here. And I loved the message when Michael Les was ministering about how he's got, you know, he talked about how, you know, you see this world in need of a cure, in need of an antidote or a shot or something just that can help them and fix them. And we've got the answer. I mean, we have the solution. We have the Savior. And, you look out in the world and you see all these people in need. And why wouldn't we want to share that with everybody we can come in contact with? I love that message because we've got salvation. We know what it is. We know how to get it. And we know how to get somebody else to get it. We need to be sharing that with people. We need to be proactive in saying, hey, I've got the cure. I've got the cure. Somebody says, man, I'm having a bad day. I know how to fix that. I tell you what, the Bible says that if any two agree, can you agree with me? Yeah, absolutely. All right, so if you can agree with me, you mind me praying with you today? I'm telling you what, there is very, 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 very 99.999, I'm numbers guy, remember this, 99.99999% chance that somebody's going to say, no is not going to happen, I promise you. It's very, very rare that no comes out of their mouth. If you ask and they know you're sincere, hey, you mind if I pray with you today? Oh, yeah. I mean, 9 times out of 10 or 99.999%, they're like, well, yes, please pray for me. I mean, I can tell you right now that there's times in my life I'm walking around amongst you and I'm thinking, man, I'd love for somebody to pray with me over a situation, you know. I'm thinking, I could use some help here. And so am I any different than anybody else? No. They're all going through different situations and, you know, trials in their life, and they need prayer just like you need prayer. And so we've got the cure. I've got the cure. You want to pray with me on this? You know, the Bible says if any two agree is touching anything, you know, we can pray, and it's going to be done. It's just going to happen. You know, God loves you. God cares for me. I know you know that probably, right? Yeah, I mean, God loves you. God cares for you. I mean, just like he cares for me. And he sent Jesus. Jesus came to die for our sins and to cleanse us and make us whole. And if it's healing in your body, he also wore stripes on his back. We just talked about that in communion. And so can we just pray together right now? Let's do it right now and pray together. Oh, thank you, Father God, that we're walking in total health, that we're walking in total peace, that we've got all the knowledge and wisdom. Father God, you said if any man lacked wisdom, he'd ask of you, Father, you'd give it to him liberally, that you just freely give it to us, Father God. We need wisdom in our lives. We just thank you, Father God. We're healed, we're whole, we're full of joy, and we've got wisdom beyond measure, peace like a river, joy unspeakable, Father God, in Jesus' name. Hey, I'm waiting for a good report. I want you to find me tomorrow and tell me what kind of good report you're going to have tomorrow. Man, how easy is that? And you know who gets blessed more than anybody? I'm sure he's going to be blessed. But this guy, yeah? This guy gets blessed. And that's the whole thing. That's the whole story about God. I mean, he's a lover and a giver. And when he loves and gives, he's the one that gets blessed. I mean, think about it. If I do that to him, or I share like that with him, and he shares that with somebody else, and then that person shares it with somebody else, and salvation comes to somebody else because of something I shared. And salvation, man, it's just like the scientists want to call all these things these ripple effects and the butterfly effect. You know, a butterfly around the world can flap his wings, and the wind from the butterfly can cause a current air current that's going to cause a change in a weather situation here, and it'll affect something around the world, you know? Yeah, some of that's true to an effect, but, you know, all that really is stuff that God put in motion to begin with anyway, right? I mean, God knew that if I could witness or share with some one person, that it would be like a ripple effect through time, through history. People's lives would be changed by one person that you minister to, by coming to the realization that you have what they need, and it's salvation, and it's in Jesus, and Jesus is in you. And so you've got the cure. You've got the answer. So I didn't mean to expound on your part of the message, but I love that. I mean, I love that. Salvation is right here. It's right now. It's in you. It's for you and everybody else, and for everybody you come in contact with. Amen? I got to get to this. Let's look at, I don't know. Do I need to go to that part, or do I want to go to the other part first? Let's go Luke 4. Let's do it. We don't have to go very far. We're just kind of flipping back and forth a few pages there. Luke 4, let's do this. This is good. Everybody say this is good. It's good stuff. Luke 4, and this is, again, another famous passage of Scripture. And I love the way this happens, and I'll give you a little history with this too as well. But Jesus he actually was tempted of the devil. He comes down out of the wilderness and from being tempted and all that stuff. He departed from Satan, and it says he returned, verse 14. Says Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. Everybody say the power of the Spirit. That's exciting, because Jesus is coming back now, and it's like he's charged up now, and he's about to take on some things, and he's about to share some things that are going to be really important for us to pay attention to here. He says, return the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and the news of him went through all the surrounding region. It makes me wonder. I'm just, you know, reading that one passage. I know that up to this point, Jesus may not have been a famous, he might not have been trending, right? Jesus might not have been trending just yet, because he really hadn't done a whole lot in his ministry per se. But something must have taken place right here. I mean, you think about this. I mean, of course, people have been talking about him because he got some recognition, I guess you could say. He got some popular votes whenever he was born. Then some other things, kind of transpired as he's growing up. But man, at this point it says, he returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went through all the surrounding region. I can't help but think that something must have happened for news to take place. I mean, that's generally what news is, right? It's something that happened. So I'm going to tell you right now, don't watch the news. Don't watch it. I'm going to be completely honest with you. I don't watch the news. I do not watch the news. I may see something happen, and an alert may pop up about a happening or something. I do not, absolutely will not, do not, have not for years and years and years. I do not willingly open up the news and look to read to see what's happening. Now, I will keep up with certain things that are important, like, political races or whatever. But I am not going out there and filling my mind full of garbage that this world really wants to report. It's not good stuff. I will on occasion go to places like Fox 4, where they will report more of more of the good stuff, we'll say. But I don't go and watch the news. It's just not worth it. I mean, Sissy opened up CNN or something because we were curious about something that had happened. And she opens it up, and there's like, boom, 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 boom. She starts reading this, and she's like, oh, no. She turns it off. I mean, she's like, no, that's enough of that. Whoa, no. That's the way we should be with the bad news, amen. But I'm thinking here, some news must have gone out about Jesus. Something must have happened here that got some people's attention. Well, it says he returned in the power of Spirit, amen? So I can't help but think that Jesus went about doing some good stuff already. But it says in verse 15, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. Whoa, so he starts teaching and ministering. And it says he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. Now, let me set a little stage here real quick, and then we'll close out with this part of the message here in just a minute. But in the synagogue wasn't the temple. It was a different place, I didn't always know that either, you know, growing up. But synagogue was a different setting or a different, place of learning, really, is what it was. Synagogue was a place where the people would come in, and there wasn't like a priest that was over the synagogue. They would come in, and there were certain people that would, they'd take turns taking a passage, reading a passage, and they would read the scripture from the Old Testament, because they didn't have the New Testament yet. They read the Old Testament. That was just, y'all were supposed to laugh at that joke. It hadn't been published. They were still in the publishers at that time. But they'd read the Old Testament, and they'd get done reading. Okay, so then they would read whatever passage you're going to, read. They would get done reading. They'd hand it back, and they would sit down. When they would sit down after they got done reading, then everybody would look at that guy that just read, and he would explain what he read. And that's how they would teach. And men would gather together. And so in this scripture here, you're going to see this. Jesus is going to go up and he's going to read. And then he's going to sit down. And then it's going to say, all their eyes were fixed on Jesus. Why? They're expecting to hear what the explanation is of what he just read. Okay, so let's read this together. It says, he stood up to read, verse 16, and he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he opened the book, he found the place, and I always loved Dad bringing this out. He found the place where it was written, and you should find the place in the Bible where it's written about you, and that's what you should read, and that's what you should confess, and that's what you should say today. This word is established. It's come to pass. It's happening. It's trending in your ears right now. I just read to you what the Bible says about me, and that's what I'm claiming in my life. Amen. That's what Jesus, all he's doing here. He says, he found the place where it is written, and he reads this. He's reading out of Isaiah 61 mainly here. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Verse 20, then he closed the book and he gave it back to the attendant and he sat down and all the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. So he reads it, he closes the book and he sits down and everybody's looking at him like, oh, this is going to be good. He's fixing to explain all this to us, It's good stuff, isn't it? Now, let me give you a little bit more history about this. This came out of Isaiah, right? Okay, if you look in the history of Isaiah, look what's happening there, get everything in context there, the children of Israel just came out of captivity, Babylonian captivity, and those guys, they were down. They were really, really down. They were crying and mourning, and there's no woe is me, and there's no salvation for us, and nobody's ever going to come save us, and sackcloth and ashes, and mad, sad, all that stuff. And prophet Isaiah, he's trying to stir them up. Hey, whoa, 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 whoa. Wait a second. Wait a minute. You got this all wrong, okay? Chin up. Remember who you are. You're the children of God. You're God's people. And all through Isaiah, he's trying to pick these guys up. He's trying to encourage them and talk to them and tell them, listen, God's going to deliver us out of this deal. This passage was a popular, it was a story of hope for the children of Israel. It was one of those feel-good stories, kind of like Superman, you know. Superman's going to come save the day. Here comes Superman. Or if you're old enough to remember, Mighty Mouse. Mighty Mouse is on his way. Remember that one? Yeah. Here he comes to save the day. All right. You remember that? That's Mighty Mouse. It was a feel-good story. They're like, oh, man, I love this story. This is a story about God going to send us a Savior. It was like the famous, you know, passage that come out of the Babylonian captivity, and Isaiah starts really hammering at them about how God's still on their side. He's still with them. He's going to deliver them. He's not going to forsake them. He's still going to send a Savior. The Savior's coming. The Savior's coming. All right? And so this passage of Scripture gets read, and boy, now they're excited. This is their favorite story. It's our favorite Bible story. So Jesus sits down, and what does he say? He's going to explain this. Oh, they're all, ooh, we're all excited now. What does he say? Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. I'm that guy. I'm the Savior. That's me. He is I am him, we are one. Yeah? All that stuff you've been hearing about, all those famous heroic stories of the Savior coming, the King's coming, oh boy, he's going to wipe everybody out too. You know, one swoop of the sword, and he's going to take over, and he's going to reign, he's going to take over, he's going to sit on the throne, and there he is, he's the King, that's him. Wow, they're all looking, what's he fixing to tell us? Hey guys, that's me. Of course, their reaction wasn't very good. Blasphemy. Stone that guy. Who is him? I know him. Isn't that Joseph's son? Oh, goodness gracious. He's just filling our heads with a bunch of mumbo jumbo. But no, he was right. He was salvation. And salvation had come to them, and he was right there in their midst. And of course, we know they rejected him. Most of them, you know, rejected him there. And so, you know, God said, hey, that's okay. I'm coming for the Gentiles too. And because of that, we all have an opportunity to receive salvation. But Jesus came, and this is a great time to talk about it, but we should talk about this all the time. Jesus came, and he died, and he rose again, and he's alive and well. And those that have accepted him have become new. They've partaken of this salvation. And not only salvation in the sense of eternity and eternal life and living with God forever. Woohoo, that's great stuff. But we can have a little heaven on earth too, because we've got promises that God's going to, you know, give us peace and joy and happiness and life ever, you know, life, great life here, but life everlasting as well. And we can walk in total health because Jesus also wore stripes on his back. Amen. So we could be healed. But salvation's come. Salvation is here, amen. And it's for you and me and everyone around you. And it's for every moment. It's for every time. And at any time, you can be saved, not just in a sense of delivered from, you know, maybe an accident. You know, Reese was driving the other day, and the lower ball joint went out in the front of the truck. Sissy and I, well, we pray for the kids constantly. Now, I have a habit, a routine of whenever I put Cassie to bed, I'll go in, make sure all the boys are in the rooms and lights are going out, and they put away their cell phones and devices so they're actually going to sleep. And then I'll go and I'll sit down beside Cassie's bed, and I'll pray over Cassie, and I pray over all the boys. And we talk about protection and, you know, safety and wisdom and, you know, just strength for the next day, good night's sleep, sweet dreams, all those good things. And we pray over the boys all the time. And I mean, that's we do it every day. That's our routine. And Reese is going the other day, ball joint. I mean, just kind of a weird situation. It just snapped. It didn't go out. It's a brand new ball joint. Well, you know, ball joints going out on vehicles is a bad deal. It can cause some major damage and major safety issue for kiddos when they're driving. He just happened to have pulled off and got gas and was pulling over the interstate on the overpass, fixing to get back on the interstate, not going very fast at all, turning into, you know, lead to get on the interstate, and boom, it goes out right there. Instead of going, you know, 70, 75 miles an hour down the road, Minimal damage, thank goodness, minimal damage to the truck itself and none whatsoever to Reese. Protection. He was safe. Salvation's here. It's here. I mean, you can't tell me that it's not. Jesus is with us. He's amongst us. He's in us. Amen. Salvation's here.